Good morning. I'll invite you to find your seats. I love that community sound of everyone talking at the same time. It really is a beautiful sound. Yeah, my name is Murray. I'm a member of the church here, and I'm married to the lovely Pastor Michelle. So that's how we're connected. Today we're going to talk about light. And if you have your Bibles with you, either on your devices or the pew back in front of you has a Bible, we're going to go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. The scriptures will not be on the screen today, so you actually might have to listen for what's being said. 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 5 to 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the light. You're the light of the world. And you walked this human journey that we get to walk as light. You got to walk it in perfection. What an amazing thing it would have been to watch you walk your life. But we do have it recorded, and we can emulate that light in our own lives. And we ask you, Spirit of God, to speak to those deep places in our hearts today as we invite you to shine your light into us and through us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It was March 1987. Do the calculations. 1987. Inside the Jenolan Caves in the Blue Mountains west of Sydney, Australia. We had never experienced such utter darkness as we did inside that cave that day. Michelle and I were backpacking around the world, visiting various ministries and missionaries, and we spent 6 months traveling the globe in search of God's direction for us regarding where in the world he was calling us to serve. We knew that we were called to serve internationally, and we kind of wanted to discover what was out there before we kind of settled in. We were staying with some new friends in the city of Sydney, and they suggested that we do some exploring in the Blue Mountains. So we did. We traveled the 185 kilometers east and took a tour of the... west. We traveled west. You can't travel... that we'd be in the ocean if we went east of Sydney. West... And we took a tour of the Jenolan Caves. We were about a kilometer into the caves when the guide told us to stop walking, to stand in place, to hold something, and then they turned off the light. It was a darkness that was suffocating. If you struggle with claustrophobia, I wouldn't suggest that you try it. Don't even try and imagine that moment. There was zero light at that moment. Nothing. We waved our hands in front of our eyes. Nothing. Our sense of hearing increased. And we could hear the water dripping from the stalactites down to the stalagmites. We could smell the minerals in the humid air inside the cave. We could feel that cold, that coldness on your skin when you're inside a cave underground. Thankfully, the guide didn't leave us in the dark and turned the lights back on, and we continued a little bit deeper into the mountain, hoping that the power wouldn't actually go out while we were in there. Have you experienced utter darkness? What I have not experienced is utter light. A light so intense and so all-consuming that that it lights up the whole being. We can experience utter darkness as humans, but the opposite, utter light, is kind of beyond our ability to comprehend. That is the starting point for John's teaching in this letter in 1 John, when he writes to the believers in the known world at the time. John did experience utter light. On the mountain of Transfiguration, he was one of the three disciples that Jesus revealed himself to. The story is found in Matthew chapter 17, and I'll just read verse 2. There he, Jesus, was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. It must have been an amazing experience for John, and it marked him for life. He had a personal definition of God in the person of Jesus being light. Today we're going to look at God as light from John's writing, how we walk in that light, and we're going to talk a little bit about how we can diminish that light in our own lives. But let's start with God is light. Verse 5 of 1 John chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Unlike the Janolan Caves of Eastern Australia, there is absolutely no darkness in God. No hint of corruption, no sin, no deviation from the truth, no twisting of reality for his own purposes. God is holy. How do we define holiness? Well, we could say that it is absolute purity and absolute love. We see it in Jesus, the only human known in history who lived a pure life. Imagine, no manipulation, no deception, no pretexts. Other than Jesus, do you know anyone like that, that has none of that in their lives whatsoever? God as light is God as absolute purity in thought, in word, and in action. This is inconceivable for us. Yeah, that's a Princess Bride. Vicini, the Sicilian. We have a hard time comprehending absolute purity. It is kind of like not being able to really know what absolute darkness is unless you experience it firsthand. I would think that John understood because of his experience with Jesus' transfiguration. He had seen absolute purity both in his experience of seeing Jesus transfigured and in how Jesus lived his life day to day. When John says that there is no darkness in God, he means zero darkness. In our human experience, we often measure our lives by the darkness we have experienced, whether it's been hard circumstances or our upbringing or hardships or sickness. We tend to define our lives by the challenges that we have experienced and overcome. Our lives are given depth by the darker threads in our lives, kind of like a tapestry or a painting that uses shadow and dark lines to highlight certain aspects of the art. But how do we understand utter light? Purity at its purest form. I think the closest that I have come is looking at a newborn baby. When you look at a newborn baby, even the smell of a newborn baby, untouched by the world yet, pure and innocent, until you change that first stinky diaper. Then you realize that this perfect little being is actually human. We see it in puppies and baby animals. We get glimpses of purity when spring puts out its first bursts of life, either from the ground or from the trees or from the plants around us. There is something about new life that seems to bring light and life to our existence. As we get older, we add to that purity the hardships of life, the deceptiveness of people and relationships around us, and of course, our own darkness and the resulting consequences of choices that we make. Many of us grew up with Pilgrim's Progress as a standard for how to think about the Christian life. Any of you read Pilgrim's Progress? A few. It's a book written in 1678 by John Bunyan as an allegory of the Christian life. I wonder if the influence of that literature put us in our Christian thinking on a track towards something different, from this, that we go from this world to a different world. But isn't the Christian life more about returning to the image of God that we were created with? I think that we have made it about us and our behaviors instead of about God and his image. Is not our journey from one from darkness to light, where day by day, month by month, year by year, we let more and more of God's light seep into the deep places of our soul? Is it not about the transformation of our beings back into the image that God created us with? I think it is. It's not as much going from here to heaven as it is allowing the light of heaven, Jesus himself, through his Spirit, to shine in and through us. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians that the first Adam, the first known human in creation that we currently know, allowed darkness into his soul. But that the second Adam, Jesus, showed us how we can actually live in a light that is all-consuming, even in the midst of a darkened world. And that's where John takes us next, where he talks about walking in God's light. Verses 6 and 7 of 1 John chapter 1 says this: if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. All sins. What, have you ever asked yourself, what does God really want? What does he want? Well, I think he wants us to live out his image in the world that we inhabit right now. Walking in that light, in his image, as image bearers, allows us to walk in such a way that shows that we have fellowship with God. What does it mean to have fellowship with God? Well, I think it means that we have moved from seeing God as a distant being that's kind of observing us to someone who is willing to walk with us in our daily lives. I think it means recognizing his presence in us and all around us. I think it means more than an intellectual acceptance that God exists, to a daily relationship where we are in conversation with him. Scripture says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. The writer to the Hebrews said in chapter 1, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, God's light, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. When John talks about having fellowship with Jesus, he had firsthand experience of walking for 3.5 years with Jesus. He experienced what it is to walk this life with a person, a human being, who actually lived out the image of God in human form. What a privilege. I am so thankful that we have recorded in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John that they took the time to write out what that looked like. What did it look like for Jesus, for God, to walk on this planet in a human body? And I imagine that walking with Jesus would have been an amazing experience, and you'd be terrified half the time because you just, like, his very presence was so powerful. Do you walk in fellowship with God? Do you see some of the changes in your own life that confirm that the light of God's image is seeping deeper into the crevices of your soul? I grew up in a Christian home. In fact, right here in this church, as a child and youth, we went to Sunday school, morning service, and evening service every Sunday. We came to the church for boys and girls clubs. We came here for prayer meetings. We came here for youth groups and choir practice. Pretty much any time that the church doors were open, we as a family were here. My dad was an elder in this church for almost all of my growing up years. And for him, he made sure that his family was part of everything that happened at the church. The church culture I grew up in was focused a bit more on being defined by what you didn't do and not so much about what you did do. There were a lot of rules to follow when I was growing up. And the absence of certain things in our lives tended to be what defined us as Christians. If you grew up in a Protestant faith community, you may know what I mean when I say that. What John is getting at here, though, is that we are to be defined by the light that exudes from us because we walk in fellowship with God, who is pure light, who is pure love, who is pure life. God's invitation is not so much avoidance of darkness, but permitting the light to seep so deep that our lives also naturally exude light. Now, you may be saying, Murray, that is a wonderful concept. I too wish that we could all walk in the light, but that isn't the reality in my world. You're right. The reality of our world is quite different. There's a lot of light in our world, if we are willing to see it, but there's also a lot of darkness in our world, and that darkness can also seep into our souls and distort the image of God within. Let's talk a little bit about that. John talks about God being light, and that we can walk in that light. But then he also talks about diminishing God's light in our lives. Verses 8 to 10, 1 John chapter 1. If we claim to be without sin, or claim to be without any darkness, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Sin is a consistent darkness that permeates our world. But what is sin? I suggest that sin is anything that deviates from the image of God. Another biblical word used for sin is iniquity. And iniquity in the Hebrew has the sense of something that is crooked, something that's been twisted. It gives the sense of something that was intended for good, but twisted into something that is evil. The first recorded sin in the Bible in Genesis is where the serpent twists what God said to Adam and Eve, and he deceives them into eating the forbidden fruit. Sin is deviating from God's original purposes. And his original purposes for us are wonderful, and they are for our benefit. Unfortunately, we do this kind of rather unconsciously much of the time. We are so conditioned by our world that we see dark things as maybe less dark or not dark. We justify our responses by comparing our thoughts and words and actions with the world around us, rather than comparing them to the absolute pure light of God. What John is getting at here is that when we confess that our thoughts, words, and actions are a twisted version of God's pure image, we actually have a chance to stop the twisting from continuing. Confession is acknowledging the ways that we have deviated from pure light, how we have twisted God's image into something that it is not. Confession is the start, and repentance is the way back to pure light, back towards the pure shining of God's image within our lives. J.I. Packer, a well-known theologian in many different Christian circles, taught that there is no holiness or Christian life that does not have repentance at its core. We may have moved away from the term repentance because admitting that something is wrong has become somewhat politically incorrect in our society. We shy away from the word sin because it holds a lot of historical judgmental vocabulary. But substituting darkness for light and calling it truth is also a deviation. It's a twisting. And the only way that we can start to make headway in our journey towards light, towards that light penetrating our souls, towards being transformed back into the image of God, is by confessing the darkness that has creeped into our souls. Packer goes on to teach that repentance is a habitual attitude and action to which all Christians are called. In fact, confession is a spiritual discipline, a daily occurrence, because we deviate from God's purposes in our lives on a daily basis. But when we confess, we are agreeing with God that darkness has crept in and distorted his image within us. When we confess, we are allowing his light to shine into those dark places. Confession opens the door for God's light to shine inward. Repentance is starting to walk back towards that light. God reveals the dark places in our souls with the express purpose of healing us, not to condemn us. When we, through confession, open up our souls to God, it's not like he's standing there going, "Aha, I got you." That's not his approach at all. When we open up our souls by confessing his image is twisted inside of us, he pours his light. He pours his forgiveness and his grace and his mercy in. He's not there to condemn us. He's there to heal us, to make us whole again. Confession opens that door. And repentance is the decision to walk in the light and to walk into the image that has been revealed within us. If sin is a deviation from God's image within us, then our misplaced desires and actions need daily recalibration. When we don't recalibrate, when we don't confess that there's darkness there, we run the risk of allowing our deviations to become the norm, and we end up cease walking in the light. As one writer put it, Sam Storms, he says, "We are by nature and choice misshapen and warped in the way we evaluate truth claims. What we cherish on the one hand and detest on the other are fundamentally at odds with God's value system. And repentance must begin with an honest confession that such is the case." Packer goes on to say, "Repentance means altering one's habits of thought, our attitudes, our outlook, our policy, our direction, and behavior, just as fully as is needed to get one's life out of the wrong shape and into the right one. Repentance is in truth a spiritual revolution." If you've done any study on revolutions that have happened worldwide, it's not an event. Revolutions don't happen in one day. There might be a sudden change in a moment, but revolutions carry on for years and years and years as people's minds and their way of thinking is changed. What does a spiritual revolution look like for you? For me, it's being attentive all day long of the light and the darkness that I experience. It means a daily check-in with my soul to ensure that the twistedness of my soul or the world around me is being examined. For some, this means using the prayer of examine. It's a liturgy that has been used in Christian traditions to evaluate the day. When we examine, it gives us an opportunity to make some of those adjustments and allow more darkness in, I mean more light in and less darkness. It's a process. It's developing the habit of keeping stock, of taking stock, of evaluating how much light and how much darkness is entering and exiting our souls. Walking in the light is a revolution of the soul that needs daily attention. Opening the way to walking in the pure light of God, who has put his image within us, imprinted our souls with his pure image. God is light, absolute purity, the purest of loves. He's invited us to walk in his presence every day, all day, in a complete and wholesome relationship with him. What a privilege that this pure God has invited us to walk in his very presence. Our tendency is to deviate from his lit pathway,
We like to kind of sneak off the path and forage in the darkness around us. That's our tendency. We do it partly because of our twisted nature, how the image has been twisted within us, and partly because we like it. We're drawn to the darkness for some reason. We're drawn to it. The first step out of the darkness is confession, declaring that what we are saying, thinking, saying, or doing is not in line with what Jesus taught us, rather a twisted version of what Jesus lived and taught. The next step is to decide to stop living in a twisted way and to consciously walk back onto the lit pathway, back into fellowship with God, back into the process of transformation into His image. Why is that important? Why do you think John put this in the very first chapter in his first letter to the believers at that time? Because our deviation from God's image is harmful to us, and it's harmful to the people around us. When we give in to that darkness, it hurts us, and in turn, it hurts the people around us. It doesn't hurt God. God's pure light. Like, no sin can be in His presence whatsoever. But it actually has a significant impact on us and the people around us. Sometimes we think we are offending God, and that is our motivation for change. I don't want God to be upset with me, so I'll stop doing that. That's not really good motivation. I suggest to you that God wants the absolute best for every one of us. And that is for us to be reshaped back into the image that He gave us at the beginning of time. Jesus lived it out as a human being. And by the power of the Spirit of Jesus within us, we too can live in the fullness of God, walking every day, all day, in His utter and pure light. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You that You have given us such a great example. And as we read the stories about You and how You spoke and how You thought, how You expressed Your thoughts and words in actions, we're amazed and we're kind of scared, because it's not very easy, not very natural for us to live in that way. So we invite Your Spirit to shine light into our souls and to revive within us that image that You have imprinted on us. And we ask Your presence, Your Spirit, to remove the darkness that still resides in some of the corners of our souls. And as we confess that darkness to You, we welcome the transformational work of Your Spirit within us. And Lord, as we do that, we know that we will benefit from it, and the people around us will benefit as we walk in communion with You and allow the transformation to happen moment by moment, day by day, month by month, and year by year. Spirit of God, come and do Your work in us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.